I welcome everybody back tonight. Sure appreciate everybody's hard work on getting everything ready today. We surely appreciate our young ladies for being our hostesses and everybody else who took a part in that. It's just very nice, and it's encouraging to see our younger ones training in such a way. It's kind of this training that I'd like to talk about this evening as far as this concept or this thought that we talked about this morning, as far as getting into ruts. And I think maybe one of the hardest things for a church to do is to recognize that there are other things that each person can be doing, and then to have the confidence to do it. And by that I mean we get very comfortable with what we've always done. And when we're asked to step outside of our comfort zone, It can be just create a number of different emotions. It can create animosity. It can create resentment, fear, and panic, depending on what type of area you've been asked to serve in or encouraged to serve in. But there's a lot of different things that go into a church, and really for a church to be everything that God wants it to be, each member has to be doing their part. And one of the things that I believe that the elders have been very firm believers in, at least as long as I've been associated with this church, is allowing each person to figure out what that part is. And by that I mean not really trying to force somebody to do something they don't want to do, and yet at the same time to be able to encourage people to expand and to grow. Otherwise, we never have new song leaders, we never have new teachers, we never have new preachers. And so a big part of getting out of the ruts that sometimes we get into is going to be a willingness to do things maybe that are different than you've been accustomed to in the past. And again, the best way to do that is voluntarily by thinking on your own the areas of service that you would like to do, and either then just doing that service or presenting yourself for that service, whatever that might be. In Hebrews chapter 10, there's a passage we're all familiar with, but I'd like to look at it from a couple of different points of view that I believe are contained within it. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. When we talk about getting out of ruts or being in a rut, this is one of the areas, I believe, that can address that very problem. In verse 23, talking to the church, the writer through inspiration says, "Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. Let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let us encourage one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching." Well, we so often focus on just one of those areas. Let us not give up meeting together. But if you'll notice, there are four "let us" passages here. They are not just friendly suggestions. They are commands. But they are commands in the true spirit of God's commands. And by that, I mean they are areas that if we will do this, our lives will be blessed. And if the whole church is doing this, the whole church will be blessed. And let me say this. Happy is like, I suppose, any other community as far as it's got houses and people. But there's something special about this community. I don't know how many ex-preachers, ex-teachers, just people who have been here before who have left, who I'll see later on, and they will say, "You know, my time in Happy was my best time ever. I don't know why I ever left." And it's not because Happy is perfect. As a matter of fact, if you want to find bad things to focus on, you'll find plenty of bad things to focus on. But I believe that there is a spirit here, and I believe that the church plays the most important role in making Happy what it is. The bank is certainly important. I think the bank just went over $1 billion in assets, and so it's a big deal as far as it influences the whole state. Our school is important because we bring in so many different people, and the community really rallies around that. They go to all sorts of activities, whether they have kids or not. It's just kind of the hub of the community. But I want to say this, without the church being strong, this community will die. It won't take long for it to die. And that's why we have to be so on guard against falling into ruts. One of the ways we can do that is to hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let me ask you this, how often do you think about the hope that you profess? Is this something you think about every day? This idea of, I'm going to heaven. That's my plan. Not from a standpoint of arrogance where you're somehow saying, I deserve to go to heaven. Nobody can keep me out of heaven. But from that point of view that says, I have the invitation from God to be in heaven for all eternity, and my firm plans are to be with God and to be with Christ for all eternity. Hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. Let me suggest to you that this needs to be at the forefront of your thoughts every day. And if there is something that is within your thoughts that takes more precedence over this, may I humbly suggest that you may not make it. That's how important I believe this holding unswervingly to the hope that we profess. We know that God will be with us in this life and give us a good life, as good as it can be here on earth. But it's the hope of eternity with God. That's the reason we're here. That's the reason for our existence, not just to be here in this building, but that's the reason God placed us here. And if we ever lose sight of that, we will get into these ruts of get up, go to work, put out the hottest fire, come home, collapse somewhere, turn something on that's mindless, and just vegetate. And we cannot do that. Let us hold unswervingly to the hope we profess. The second, let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. We've talked a lot about our deacons lately, and rightfully so, and their wives. There's a reason that the wives have qualifications just like the men do, because they serve as a team. But there has been a lot of forethought among that group, and it has spread out to everybody that's wanted to take part as far as considering how to spur one another on. We're doing some physical activities, some badly needed updating and maintenance, but it has served to spur one another on. Because when you're busy in one area, it draws you closer together. It's hard to explain, but I can tell you that our youth group is a lot closer together during the summertime when we are mowing lawns together than we are during the school year when everybody's going off in different directions. Part of it is just proximity. We're together more often. But part of it is that we're doing something together. And by thinking of things, not busy work, but important work that needs to be done, by thinking of things like that, it spurs us on. Let me throw this out to you for you to start thinking about and praying about. I'm not going to be here forever. You don't have to applaud. I've been here for 22 years now. I'm not going to be here for another 22 years. I'm not going to be here for half that length of time. As a matter of fact, really what my goal is right now is to preach, if y'all permit, here for another 5 years, and then move on to be doing something different, being here and happy, but not preaching anymore. And because that is something that I'm looking forward to, and I think hopefully very satisfying work for God in doing that, we really want to take advantage of our men as far as getting them to take part in preaching more often and teaching more often. And so I'd really like you to be thinking about that, especially in the area of teaching. Right now, on average, we've got, I believe, five classes that the men are in charge of each quarter. And so four quarters, that's 20 classes. And typically, about three or four men will take care of about 80 or 90% of those classes. And while we're certainly appreciative to those men, it's not good to just listen to one or two points of view all the time. And so let me encourage you men to start thinking about taking a class, just one, next year. It will take some coming out of your shell. I realize that. I realize that speaking is not something that most people would do willingly. I can tell you this. I was just figuring it up really quick. I've preached over 2,000 times and have taught over 3,000 times. But when I first started talking publicly, I was scared to death. Did not want to do that at all. Was opposed to it. Anybody who heard me was probably opposed to it after I had done it. But the point is, and you may still be, I don't know, I want to be presumptuous. But the point is, it is something that you can do, and it's something that's needed. And so I would start thinking about that and gearing myself towards that. I would start, men and women, start preparing yourselves to be to fit into the category of elders or deacons. It may be that you feel like there's something in your background that does not allow you to qualify for that, but don't let that stop you from making sure that you have the characteristics of that so that you can take leadership roles. It doesn't have to be with a title. But we need you as leaders, and that will take getting out of a comfortable rut that just allows us to go on in the same direction all the time. But by doing that, that will cause families to grow stronger. That will cause the church to grow stronger because now we're getting people's input from many different directions with very worthwhile thoughts that need to be considered. And it will help the church grow. And it will keep us out of a rut. It has to be a studied point of view when you teach or preach. It cannot be just something that you get up and say whatever you feel. It has to be something that is scripturally based. And so I would encourage you, men and women, to really be digging into the Word of God. And I'd be praying about who might be filling the pulpit in the next 5 years or so right now. Because we want to be going in a good direction. I don't know who it will be. Maybe it'll be somebody who attended here when they were younger. Maybe it will be somebody's husband. Carolyn went off and 5 years from the time I preached, if you'd have told me I was going to be preaching, I would have laughed in your face. And you would have laughed along with me at the good joke. Sometimes it takes time. But there are people out there, and we need to be praying for that. We need to be praying for the right people to be coming in or to be stepping forward. But as we do these things, we can consider how to spur one another on to love and good deeds. And the last two, very quickly, let us not give up meeting together. We've talked about that a lot. But it's important that we don't get into the rut of a failure to meet, because we've got to be here together in order to encourage one another. And that was the last one. Let us encourage one another all the more as you see the day approaching. And that is our great privilege. And I went 2 minutes over, so I owe you 2 minutes somewhere in your life. But I'm not painting for you. Invitation is open. If anyone needs to respond to the gospel's call, won't you do that while we stand and sing?